Jared Krasaska's acclaimed graphic novel memoir, Hey Kiddo, was a National Book Award finalist. It detailed his often painful childhood as the son of a heroin-addicted mother and absent father. The follow-up is Sunshine, an account of being a teen counselor at Camp Sunshine in Maine, where he learned about the hope and determination that gets people through the most troubled of times. Jared is a New York Times bestselling author, a two-time winner of the Children's Choice Book Award for the third to fourth grade book of the year, an Eisner Award nominee, and the author and or illustrator of more than 30 books for young readers. The latest is Sunshine, and it's a great pleasure to welcome back to our program Jared Krasaska. Thank you very much, Jared. Good to have you.
It's good to be here, and thank you for that generous introduction.
Well, it's very nice to have you back. Let me just talk about Hey Kiddo for a moment. We had you on for that book when it was just in its, I think, hadn't even been out a full week. And then that book just took off. Were you surprised by the nerve that touched in people?
Hey Kiddo was a tricky book for me because, you know, previous to Hey Kiddo, I was not known for doing heavy work, right? I was known as the lunch lady guy who makes these fun, affable comics about a crime-fighting lunch lady. Those comics were very campy. I did the Jedi Academy series. I did several picture books. So I had a lot of anxiety going into Hey Kiddo's release because I had this like gnawing feeling that like, oh my God, am I just shooting myself in the foot? Am I just committing? Am I going to just be disastrous to my career? And, you know, it ended up being the biggest book of my career. And I think in large part because I was just so brutally honest about the experience of being the child of a person dealing with addiction. And, you know, I think that, you know, the math of it never seems to work out, that the more specific you get with your story, the more universal it becomes. And part of my reasoning for writing Hey Kiddo was the amount of young people who would make those connections with my biography of them dealing with having an addicted parent at home. And so I was surprised by just the amount of all of the awesomeness that came from it. You know, New York Times profile, it was on with Terry Gross, it was on the Today Show.
Right.
It's like a big old laundry list of awesome things that happened. So I was a bit gobsmacked, you know, that it was indeed not something that was a disaster for my career, but was the biggest thing to happen to my career, I guess.
So then this book comes, and it's a similar style, but I guess a poignant story, but and a personal story, but a lot of the groundwork's already been set, right?
Yeah, so Sunshine is about my time working with kids with pediatric cancer, which again isn't like it isn't an easy elevator pitch, you know, regards to just like Hey Kiddo was not an easy elevator pitch. It's like it's about a kid who's dealing with his mother's heroin addiction. Oh, this one's about pediatric cancer, so I delve deep into some really difficult subject matter. Now, in regards to, like you said, like now I've known for Hey Kiddo, right? So it's not that much of a shock to people that I'm doing something that's really heavy. And Sunshine definitely dovetails into Hey Kiddo because originally it was a runaway chapter in an early draft of Hey Kiddo. And that runaway draft became a passing mention on just one page of Hey Kiddo, the experience of having worked at this camp. And so I mean, if one is a stickler for a chronological timeline, they could read Hey Kiddo up until page 266. Stop, read, you know, 240-something pages of that is Sunshine, and then return to the remaining, you know, 80, 90 pages of Hey Kiddo.
What was it about that story from that one page and as you say it, when it became a runaway, that you realized that you had something that was book-worthy in the sense of you had a lot there to tell and obviously had a lot to say?
Well, when my editor, David Levithan, was working with me on Hey Kiddo, he took this chapter out and he said, you know, if there was ever to be a second book, I think this would be it. And what he taught me about memoir, he said, don't write Hey Kiddo as if it's the only chance you'll ever have to write about your life. I mean, I think so often we conflate memoir with autobiography, and they're two very different things. You know, a memoir isn't necessarily even about the person who's writing it. It's about the experience that they're having at a certain time of their life. And I think we all have infinite memoirs in us because, you know, your beginning and middle and end is not your birth, middle age, and death. Your beginning, middle, and end happens over and over and over again. And those stories overlap. You know, Sunshine takes place within a week. Hey Kiddo takes 18 years to unfold. I'd like to someday write a memoir that takes place in 24 hours. And so I have on my hands what I'm calling the Kiddoverse, where I take other parts of my lives to tell stories. And my wife has made it very clear to me that I have permission to write up until our wedding day, and then I'm done.
You're done. Yeah. Yeah. Enough of that. And then our private life begins.
Exactly.
The subtitle, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. How did you get the gig at Camp Sunshine?
My name was pulled from a hat. I went to high school. It was a Catholic high school, and there was a huge focus on servitude and volunteerism. And every year, they would send groups of seniors to Camp Sunshine, and it was such a part of the culture that it was in the yearbook. Like, the yearbook had a spread of Camp Sunshine. And so when you're coming up at this high school, that's something that you always have your eyes on. I'm like, that would be really cool to do. And, you know, like about 100 or so students piled into the first informational meeting, and they could only send 30, 40 students up. And they picked names from a hat. And, you know, I remember there being some buzz of like, oh, no, it was rigged. But like, when you looked at all of the students that were chosen to go, it was so clear it was chosen from a hat, because it wasn't all the kids who got straight A's and well-behaved, right? Like, you know, as I say in the book, it was like the stoners, the AP nerds, the theater geeks, like everybody wants to go. I mean, it was very much like the Breakfast Club, you know, where you're like, you have all of these kids, like none of us would have sat together at the lunch table.
Right.
And now we're living together for a week, having this really intense experience. And, you know, my name being drawn from that hat, it absolutely changed the trajectory of my life.
What was it about that time that had such an imprint on you? And what ultimately you remember, because it's obviously heavy, but it's also so life-affirming.
It was a joyous experience. I mean, I think that, you know, my grandmother never could understand why I would want to do this kind of work. And I think some people from the outside might feel the same way, because, you know, you hear kids with cancer and automatically your mind goes to tragedy. But those kids are kids, you know, they're kids first before they're kids with cancer. And those kids are funny. Those kids are rambunctious. Those kids are silly. Those kids want to get in trouble and push the limits and boundaries. And I just learned so much about what it's like to be in service to others, that no matter how much work you put into volunteerism, you get so much more out of it. You know, I learned what it was like to understand that I wasn't the only kid that had problems at home. You know, I got to see how other people reacted to their traumatic experiences. And I really had found family within this program.
When you look at what you did, give us a sense of your jobs at the camp and some of those experiences of getting to know these kids.
So the way that Camp Sunshine is set up, and you know, it's a camp where the families go completely free of charge, and it serves the whole family. And so every volunteer is assigned a family to sit with at meals and make sure that they have everything they need, make sure that you know, the parents can just sit and relax and enjoy their meals while you're getting the food for the kids. And then in between meals, you're assigned to different age groups. Some of my co-counselors that I went up to volunteer with worked in the tot lot with the toddlers. Some worked with babies. Some worked with the 7 to 12 group. And I was assigned a one-on-one situation for a boy who was in the teen group. And a one-on-one camper is a camper who has such physical needs that they have to have one counselor near them and helping them at all times.
When you thought back on it, were you surprised by how meaningful it had been and how you relied on that time? Maybe you didn't think about it consciously, but as you look back on it, realize what an impact it had.
Yeah, I mean, I was obsessed with the work, and I definitely, you know, when you have a macro view of everything and you could see, you'd look at things a different way. I mean, I can see how I was so grateful to have a family outside of the family that I came from, right? Because the family that I came from, while loving, was pretty chaotic. And even from like a perspective of my work as an author and an artist, prior to that, you know, I wanted to do like these really dark, violent superhero stories. And that's at that point, I was like, oh, like I was drawing for the kids that whole week. And I remember coming home from that, like, you know, I think I want to create stories and illustrations for a young audience, for kids.
When you think of what those kids were going through, you're going through your own trauma. I mean, is there an understanding that you had that perhaps another kid would not have had?
I think so. And I think I remember feeling that at the time too. I mean, I was a kid who knew what it was like to yearn for childhood while you're still in a small body. Right. So that is absolutely something that I think a big reason why I was able to connect with those campers as I did. I mean, obviously, I no idea what they're going through medically, but just the general concept of this, just being a kid dealing with uncertainty was something that I fully identified with.
What has it been like since the book's come out? And I assume you hear people that you had a connection with from that time.
Oh, my goodness, I do. I mean, well, you know, any camper whose name or likeness is in the book, I, you know, reached out to get permission either directly from them or from the survived family. And the magic of social media, I have maintained contact with several of these families. And I had maintained contact with them before social media, before the advent of social media. But with this book tour, not only were there planned visits, you know, the main family that's featured in the book and that boy on the cover, his family attended the launch event here in my hometown of Northampton, Massachusetts. But then on some stops, I was surprised by campers and families that came by who were like, there's no need to contact her. We know he's going to be there. We're going to watch his face when we walk in the door and surprise him. And there have been so many beautiful moments like that on this book tour.
Again, the name of the book is Sunshine. Jared Krasoska, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Well, thank you, Mr. Donahue. I appreciate it.
Again, Jared Krasoska's new book is Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. It is published by Graphix. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.